Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
And welcome back to Mads World. I'm your host, Mads, and I hope you've been enjoying this season so far. If you have, please remember to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast, as it's the simplest way to help out the show. Or find me on social and tell all your friends about it. This week, I'm joined by wardrobe stylist, public speaker, and gamer Lala Love. Lala is known for her extensive pink wardrobe and her hair to match. She's a member of High Fashion Twitter and is part of the EA Creator Network. She's also a food connoisseur, a sneakerhead, and loves taking trips to Whole Foods. Lala also lives with an invisible disability, fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia is a chronic disorder categorized by widespread musculoskeletal pain, fatigue, and tenderness. It's a complex condition that affects the central nervous system, causing amplified pain signals and heightened sensitivity to stimuli. While the exact cause of fibromyalgia is unknown, it's believed to involve a combination of genetic, environmental, and psychological factors. In this episode, we discuss what it can be like living with an invisible disability, the impact it can have on friendships and relationships, how social media impacts those with invisible disabilities, and the importance of intersectional feminism. Hello, Lala.
Hey.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good. I've had such a lovely morning and it's a big podcast day. I'm doing a few today, so I'm feeling like really energized, which is nice. I feel like I get energy from chatting to different people, so it's great.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, I know what you mean. You know, you vibe off each other's, you know, energy and you soak it all up, don't you?
100%. Let's get stuck into our speed date question round because I've got some really fun questions that I wanted to ask you all about before we had a bit more of a chat. So my first question is, what is your favorite recent pop culture moment?
Oh, there's so many. Oh, gosh. Because I'm someone, I spend a lot of time on Twitter. So I see all of them. Like, nothing gets past me on there. Yeah, because it's just, once it hits Twitter, like, that's it. Like everyone is involved, commenting, ripping it to shreds or hyping it up, either way. So,
I love a bit of Twitter.
Oh, me too. I live on there, literally. Mm-hmm. It's a good and bad thing, because it's not always for the faint-hearted.
Uh-huh. And Love Island's back as well, so it's all the chat on there about Love Island. I mean, that's the only reason that I will continue to watch Love Island is because of the conversation on there. I mean, if it wasn't for Twitter, Love Island would be dead to me.
Yeah, most shows, even I do the same thing with like watching like Love is Blind and all those kind of like hot Netflix shows. Yeah, like Twitter makes it more exciting, of course. You feel like you're watching it with the whole world.
Literally.
But in terms of pop culture moment, it's really difficult. I'm probably gonna have to say anything to do with like fashion do's and don'ts.
So
like really crazy moments that have happened recently, like I remember, I think it was Black China, she arrived on what red carpet was it, let me look it up, and she was wearing something really really crazy and it went so viral because it was such a weird look. Let me do a quick... Yeah, it was... Oh, God. Seeing it again is giving me nightmares. Oh, my goodness. It was this really, like, over-the-top black swan leotard, feathers everywhere, like, goes over her hair, completely covering her head. All you see is this, like, piercing, like, black shadow over her eyes and this, like, really insane... Like, I dare you to look it up too. So Black China Grammys, and it will pop up on your Google
images. I'll look it up right now. China Grammys. Oh my god. She looks like she's something out of like... She looks like she's from Maleficent or like a Disney film villain or something. Incredible.
Literally, it gave me very The Black Swan. It gave me, yes, definitely Maleficent, all of that. It was definitely giving villain. And I think that she probably did it for shock value, which I understand because, you know, a lot of the time that's what works these days. People have to do outlandish things to get attention.
Yeah, for social media especially, it's what goes viral is what's going to be making the money.
Yeah, this is it. And yeah, this was one of those moments where I was just like, this is very terrifying. I wish she hadn't done that. And she said in an interview recently that she really liked it. She thought it was really nice. So she didn't understand why people were like, you know, confused and scared.
Yeah, confused and scared. Like, you look like a crow, like a scary
literally,
crow.
Literally. Oh my goodness, that's the perfect way to describe it. Yeah. Yes.
That's so it. Good. And my next question is, what is your greatest achievement?
Oh, it's always interesting when someone asks me this question, because I think that most people don't or would never think that I would answer it like this.
Yeah.
And out of all the things I've done, it's never as big to me as being able to just like have the power of self-love and the confidence that I have. That will always be my biggest achievement, just knowing that I truly love myself and I respect myself and I'm able to walk away from any bad situation and anything that isn't serving me. I'm able to just turn my back on it immediately, no matter who it is, what it is. Could be opportunity, a person, an animal or whatever, you know. Like, to me, being able to love myself is my biggest achievement. I've done, you know, things that people would probably look at and think, oh, but you were on a TV show, you know, you did Naked Beach, and you know, you've been in magazines, and you've been featured, and, you know, on Teen Vogue and BuzzFeed and BBC News. Yeah, those are nice things, but when I just think about what's more important to me than all of those things is just how I'm able to look after myself and how I view myself. I don't really care about the worldly standards, you know. It's always a proud moment knowing that I love me, because a lot of people can't say that. A lot of people are still struggling with that, you know.
Oh, that is so powerful and so awesome to hear, because I feel like that's something I've been struggling with a lot in like the last few months, because I have it's fine now, but I've basically had this like onset of chronic hives. Like, I get hives every day, and the last hives is like, it's like an allergic reaction thing. And it's nearly been a year now that I've been having that every day. And I'm just like, this has never happened to me. I've never had to like, I don't know. I've never felt like so self-conscious in my life. And now people always saying, because I'm turning 30 in July, a lot of people are like, oh, once you hit your 30s, you're so confident and like you don't care what anybody thinks and you've got all this self-love, like the wisdom you have in that. And I'm like, I'm just not feeling that. Like, it's so tough at the moment. And I'm like, I want to get back to a place where like, because in my 20s, I've always been so confident, so out there. Like, I started this podcast, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it's so weird lately, because I'm like, where is this like revelation of self-love that everyone's talking about? Like, I'm not there. So hearing you say that is very inspirational. It makes me feel like, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back to myself.
You will. You just have to put in the work and believe that you can feel that way. You got to constantly remind yourself daily. It's not an easy thing. I will never make it seem like, oh, like you can just wake up and feel this way. It takes time. It does. I won't lie to you. But if you put in the work, like it's not unachievable.
Yeah. Oh, it's so lovely to hear you say that. And I love that it's sort of like it's a different sort of success or achievement goal, because a lot of people come on and they say like you were saying, like, you know, Teen Vogue or BuzzFeed, all those things, like to other people that could look so inspiring and like you've achieved so much. But yeah, it all comes down to how you feel about yourself, like whether that stuff is meaningful or not, I guess.
That is it. There you go.
And my next question is, what do you love most about fashion and styling? Because I love your Instagram, and Kitty Underwood put me onto you. And after she did, I was like, oh, I'm obsessed. So many cute outfits. So yeah, what do you love the most about it?
Yeah, shout out to Kitty. She's one of my closest friends. I love her to bits.
She's so great. I love her.
She is. Oh gosh, so many things. It's when it comes to fashion, I can't really choose like from the top of my head, because I've been so in love with everything that like art and fashion involves for such a long time that the history that's in my head is so extensive, like the catalogue. So, you know, I can choose maybe a fashion moment from this year or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. Like, there's just so many. But when I always think of at least like my top few, I will always go back to, I guess, the times when I think I was in college around this time is when I really realized how obsessed I was with it. And I feel like that feeling will never leave me. And the first time I discovered Jeremy Scott, who is about to leave Moschino. So he was or is the creative director. I think he's leaving sometime this year. And at the time, he had just been appointed creative director back in 2011. And he was making like collaborative shoes and clothes with Adidas. And that's when I first kind of like got to know who he was and what he did and his kind of like, you know, I guess his creative techniques, because he's very flamboyant, you know, designing wings for sneakers and putting teddy bears on them and with little arms and literally. And I realized like, oh, these are my people. Like, this is my kind of vibe, like quirky fashion, you know, really fun things. And when I think of fashion and what makes me like really happy, it's that kind of, you know, those kind of designs, the things that are very colorful and very just out of the ordinary and very unique silhouettes and almost crazy to most people when you look at it. Like, what's that? Why do your shoes have a whole bear on it? Like, that's a bit much, don't you think? But to me, it's like, no, that's cool. That's dope. Like, yeah, I can't wait to wear these, you know?
Yeah, it's such like an expressive art form, I guess. Like, it's so, it can go any direction. I think that's the best thing as well about like this era that we're in at the moment, is that trends are always changing and stuff. And yeah, it's probably kind of bad for the environment, but like if you think about like the 70s, you know, in my head, that's kind of all a 10-year period is identified through one or a couple of fashion trends. Whereas like the era we're in now, there's so many different ways that you can do it and look amazing and feel amazing. And it's just everyone can express themselves how they want, and it's really cool.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what fashion is for me. It's self-expression, the way I can speak to people without having to open my mouth, you know? Me walking out the house wearing something flamboyant, or even if it's something a bit more dialed back, but still with a hint of quirkiness, because I can't seem to have a simple outfit. I don't think it's physically possible, in all honesty. Like, even when I think of the outfits that I still have, that are still kind of classed as kind of simple, that they still have some kind of element of something funky in it, even if it's just the earrings I'm wearing and that's it, you know? There's never a dull moment with me when it comes to that.
That's so good. So would you say you're an introvert or an extrovert then? Like, are you an introvert and you use this as a way to express yourself, or would you say you're more of an extrovert?
Yeah, I think I'm probably a bit of both.
I think so too with myself, yeah.
Yeah, because I think there's a word for it too, and I always forget the term. Like, I can't remember what it is, but definitely, because I'm someone I say all the time to my friends, and I'm like, I don't like a lot of attention. And I'm always like, I know it seems contradicting based on the stuff I wear, but genuinely, I don't. I like what I like, and I can't help that I like these things, but I just don't like the attention that comes with it.
Yeah, you're like an introverted extrovert.
Yeah. So even back to the days where my hair would always be pink, and I need to go back to those times because I really miss it. It was, I think, the real me, the real Lala. You know, my hair being pink, but the upkeep is so expensive. But we really know, cost of living crisis. So let's not get into that. But when my hair was pink a lot, and I would leave the house, and I would notice I'd get a lot of attention and a lot of stares. Sometimes people secretly like recording me and stuff like that. There's been times where friends have had to like fight my battles for me when they would see someone doing it, and they'd be like, you know, leave her alone, or what are you doing? What are you looking at? And yeah, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so used to it. And I'm in such a bubble that sometimes I don't even realize it myself if I'm just in my own world with my earphones in, listening to Nicki Minaj. So
it's so like, on brand with the pink hair.
Isn't it? Yeah. Literally, just in my own Barbie world. And
love that.
Yeah. So it's like, it is very frustrating getting all that attention, because it's like, I don't care for it. I find it a little bit intimidating. It can be a bit scary because I do suffer with anxiety. So it can rile that up a little bit too. But I'm not going to leave the house and wear black every day like most people, and no shade to them if that's what you like. But I can't do it. But I know if I did, I wouldn't get near as much attention as I get. But I'm not going to now make myself unhappy with what I'm wearing just because it makes other people, like, I don't know,
more
confused or excited. Yeah, exactly. So I just have to be me, you know, and just kind of feel the fear and do it anyway is how I kind of attempt to do most things.
Such honestly, a
it is, because once you do it, you realize there's nothing to be scared of.
So true. And my next question is, what is the best thing about being a queer person?
So many things again.
Yay.
I always say, I always love the fact that I have such an amazing community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite blessed to have more friends in my life, in my adult life, that are queer more than I had when I was a bit younger. I thought, because most people were still quite scared to admit it because they didn't want to be judged, and not everyone obviously has the same, you know, confidence and outspoken behavior that I do. So whereas I said it very early in life to friends, and they were all like, oh, you're just greedy. How can you like, you know, whip women as well as men? Like, that's just greed. And I'm like, okay, whatever. This is how
that's
I feel.
So
like,
ignorant, isn't it?
Very. And I can't fault them because, you know, we were what, like 16 at the time or something like that? So, you know, we're just young, stupid school kids, like not knowing any better. And it just so happened that I was just bold enough to just say it because I just didn't care. But I understand that most people just, they're not there yet. And now in my early 30s, oh God, it sounds so weird to say that.
That'll be me next month as well.
Girl, join the club.
Terrified.
Oh gosh. No, don't be. Honestly, it is a nice feeling, but it also sounds kind of like cringe when you say it out loud because you're like, really? Yeah. Am I there? I can't believe it. But yeah, as you are at this time in your life, a lot of people are just kind of over hiding it because they've already grown into this more confident adult, especially at a time where it's now less hidden. Back then, it wasn't on TV. You didn't see it in EastEnders. You didn't see it in movies. And if you did, it was very like hush-hush taboo. It wasn't out and proud. So now to have so much celebration where that's concerned, because I don't even remember pride being a thing, like a pride parade being a thing when I was 16. It probably existed, maybe, but I didn't know about it, like had no clue. So yeah, that will always be my favorite thing, just being able to have such a great community and so many people around me who understand me and even help me discover my sexuality even more, because I thought that I was bi for a long time. I thought that I just liked men and women. But then as time went on, I was like, oh, actually, I'm quite attracted to this person, but they don't identify as a man or woman. So what's this about? And I just I kept kind of pondering to myself, you know, maybe it's just I'm confused, I don't know. And then I spoke to a dear friend of mine, who you might know, her name Haram, and really, really gorgeous human being. I'm so besotted with her. And I spoke to her because I didn't know what her sexuality was, but I knew she was part of the queer community too.
Yeah.
So I just messaged her and I said, like, how did you know, how did you know what your sexuality was? How did you like discover it? Because I'm struggling with not knowing if I like just women and men or everyone. And how do you kind of word it? And she was like, well, take it as this. I like hearts and not parts. And I was like, oh my God.
Oh, love that.
It blew my mind.
Yeah.
Honestly, just, it was so mind blowing. And I was like, oh my God, that's it. So I'm pansexual. Like I just like everyone. I don't really care what you have. I just, yeah. I like you.
The power of words sometimes is so incredible. Like for someone to just articulate something so that speaks to you so much is just like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like, it can honestly help you figure yourself out, you know, like hearing that feels like it would have been such a like liberating moment.
Oh, it was. It truly was. I think I probably got a little bit emotional afterwards. I was just like, wow, finally something so simple just to make me understand it a bit better. But oh, till this day, I'll always remember that. And I love her even more for it, for making it just so much more easier for me to understand. Because I was really battling a little bit. I was feeling like just really stupid and confused almost. Yeah. So yeah, I'm really grateful for that.
That's amazing. And my last question for this round is, and this is my favorite question because I never know what people are going to come out with, is what is your funniest date story?
Oh gosh. Funniest.
Oh, or just, I've had... it can be any, it can be most tragic, it can be best, it can be any date story.
Okay, so I do have a couple like bad or awkward ones.
Amazing. We love it.
Oh gosh, I can remember one specifically, and oh, this is bad. So it's probably even not that bad to you, but to me it's just like, it's bad for me because I've got OCD. But you'll
and
see.
And when you're revisiting it as well, it's like, it's so real. It's like you're getting triggered, yeah, by it. You're like, oh God, it's happening again.
All over again, exactly. So again, we're talking almost 10 years ago, I would say maybe 2012, and I'm still working in retail because I was like able-bodied at that time. I hadn't been diagnosed with anything yet. And I think I met this guy out on a night out. I think he approached me at the bus stop as I was going home really late in the night and gave him my number, whatever. Fast forward to our first date, he meets me after work, and I'm working at Stratford at the time in the Westfields. And so I think he took us to TGI's or GBK, one of the two. And date was okay, but like I kind of kept getting this whiff of something.
Oh God.
Like this really like weird smell now and again. Not like constantly, but like just yeah, literally your reaction was mine.
Nah, that's not on.
It's not. I'm very big on like smells and hygiene. That just, if I get a least whiff of myself, I'm like, okay, I need to go pattern up. I need to go sort myself out.
Honestly, or, yeah. Same. It's, and I'm very hypersensitive to it. Like if I smell something bad, I'm like, this is going to affect me for the rest of the day. Like I need to sort literally this out. Yeah.
Literally. And I just thought, okay, maybe it's the restaurant. I'm not really paying too much mind. Oh, maybe God. Someone else in here. And as we're leaving now and I've gone to like hug him goodbye, the whole stench went right up my nose. It was all over his jacket. And all, like, just, it smelled like, I can't even describe it, like just stale food, literally. Like,
ew.
Yeah, that's the best way to describe it. Like, like someone was cooking before he left the house, and I could just smell this heavily rich food smell, but it would just smell like it was not fresh. And even then, it's still a food smell and on your coat, so immediately it smells weird.
No. And you know what? Something I always want when I'm out with someone on a date, like I find a good smelling person very attractive. Like that is something big to me. Even if someone's like not as hot, but they smell amazing, I'm like, love you, obsessed with you, like literally, be my boyfriend.
That yeah. is me, because back to when I was still like just starting dating for the first time, I remember I was obsessed with anything like Lynx smelled, like Lynx Africa. That smell would just, oh my God, trust me, that smell would just turn me on.
Same.
And I don't so care how Really, like, I don't care how cute or not cute or whatever cute you are, if you're wearing that, you're mine. Like, I need you to be mine. So I'm with you on that. So that's why this was such a bad turn off. And I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I thought, okay, maybe it was a one-off situation. You know, he went to someone's house prior to meeting me and there was a lot of cooking going on and it went in his coat. Cool. I gave him a benefit of the doubt and gave him a second date.
Okay.
The second date, the exact same smell. I said no, we're not doing this. Because
that is that's so sad for him, because imagine if he's going on loads of dates and everyone's rejecting him because of his smelly jacket.
I swear. And like, you know when you want to tell someone because it would be helpful, but you don't want to like hurt their feelings, and and not only that, we know how men, you know, really fragile egos, and the minute you hurt their feelings, they start effing and blinding and wanting to insult you. So you know, as a woman, it's scary. You don't want to put yourself in a position where you could get hurt, and I'm still getting to know this person, so I don't know what they're capable of.
Fair enough,
I just had to leave that.
Love that. I would have been exactly the same. Oh, God. Well, thank you so much for going through the speed date question round. I've asked you on the podcast because I read some of your articles, and with Kitty's recommendation, I just really love to speak to you about living with an invisible disability. So I've read some of your articles and places you featured. I know you spoke earlier about being featured on BuzzFeed and stuff. And could you just tell me more about what living with an invisible disability means to you, and means in general, I guess, for anyone listening who doesn't really know what that term means?
So yes, I do have a chronic illness called fibromyalgia, and how that affects me is I get very severe joint pain. I can swell up very easily in my feet and in my like my knees. Oh, there's times where I've like walked too much for a day and I've come home and my knees are puffy, they've just blown up and gone really big. And I'm like, it's crazy. You'd look at one and look at the other and compare the two, and you instantly see that, oh, it's swollen because it's a lot larger than the other one. It's pretty intense. And just, I guess, navigating that, because I first got diagnosed, I think it was back in 2015, is when I first realized that I was having these pains, and I didn't get diagnosed until a year later in 2016. And apparently it was caused by trauma or some form of like moving around. And I think it might have been a bit of both, because I did go through a really bad breakup end of 2014, early 2015, and which was quite traumatic for me. And then I did spend a lot of time like going back to the gym and just kind of working out my pain through there. So I might have injured myself in the gym plus the trauma of what I was really dealing with, and then boom, it gave me this. I know it's crazy when you think about it.
Yeah. And how long is it expected to last? Is it for life, or how does it come to an end?
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing, that there is no end. It is something I'm going to have to live with for the rest of my life. So I just have to find ways of making it easier for me, which is what I've been spending the majority of my time doing since I had it. And it changes over time in terms of, If I've used something before and I realize it doesn't no longer work, I'd stop that and move on to something else.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Like you get resistant to certain treatments and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So at first I was just taking medication from the doctors that were prescribed to me. And I thought they were helpful, but in the end I kind of felt like they were making me feel worse. And so I stopped them because, you know, with these kind of like medicines, they're they're very much crap. And, you know, and it wasn't even something that was made specifically for people that have a chronic illness. It was made for people that have schizophrenia, and they just happen to use it for people that have my condition as well. And I just feel like someone that has schizophrenia is nowhere near the same as someone that has a chronic illness. So why would they use the same medication for it? It just seems so lazy and so stupid.
Yeah, and almost like they're just looking for something to just throw at the problem or like put a put a plaster over it, and it's not really a real solution.
Exactly, and I find that that happens a lot. So I had to just do my own research and find things that, well, I guess were more natural, and so I started looking into CBD, and now it's so popular. A lot of people use it for everything in every different way. Back then it wasn't as popular, so it took me a while to like get my hands on certain things. So after a while, I would try out CBD chocolate or just the capsules. I'd buy the hemp seed oil capsules off Amazon. And just, yeah, I would use that. And that was a little bit easier because I remember when I was away filming Naked Beach, I remember taking them with me because I was like, this is a job where I'm going to be on my feet every day and I'm not used to that anymore because obviously that's not a kind of job I can manage anymore. Yeah. But in order for me to do this, you know, great experience, I want to be able to be at my best. I don't want to feel like I'm letting the team down and the crew because I can't get up and film every day like everyone else. Yeah. So, yeah, it was important for me to rest as much as possible and also make sure that I don't miss any dose of taking the hemp seed oil capsules because they were quite helpful in just making sure that I'm not completely in too much pain. But anytime I did feel a little bit sore, just elevate my legs when I need to and just keep it pushing. And yeah, it helped. It did.
And what have your experiences been like with fibromyalgia and OCD in conjunction?
Yeah, at times it can be a real nightmare because the biggest trigger is when I need to tidy the house and it's a mess and I can't live in mess for too long. Very popular OCD, like, you know, trigger, just being in mess and clutter. I can't do it. Like, I'm always decluttering, I'm always throwing things away and cleaning up, and, you know, I hate it when my boyfriend comes around and he hasn't tidied up after himself. I'm always cussing him because I'm like, listen, I can't live in mess. I just keep tidying that. Can you please? I just, and then there's days where I'm so tired and exhausted and or sore that I physically can't stand to clean, or I can't even bend down. A lot of the time it's hard for me to even bend on my knees. It's too much pressure on it.
Yeah.
So those days are really frustrating because my OCD is like, well, you need to clean. And then my body's like, oh, actually, you need to rest. And I'm like, oh, what do I do?
Stuck in the middle.
Literally. So that's like the biggest like frustration. So again, as time goes on, I'm just learning it's fine. Just wait another day or do as little as you can just to make yourself feel at peace and then leave the rest. It's fine. It's fine. You know, or hide it, hide the mess, put something over it. Do something, you know.
Or just push it to the sides. That's usually my tactic, is if I can't be asked cleaning, I push it to the side And then I'm like, okay, it's over there for now.
Literally.
And how has living with an invisible disability impacted your friendships and relationships?
Yeah, that's something that definitely was really hard to navigate very early on when I first had it, because it was also a lot more difficult then because I'm not used to it. And so I didn't know how to deal with it. So I was like losing friends. Well, I guess they weren't really friends, because if you don't understand I've got an illness and it's preventing me from meeting up today, then okay, like jog on then, mate. Do you know what I mean? It's not, I can't do anything about it. I've got to live with this now. And if you can't understand it, then I guess we're just not really meant to be, are we? And and that was the same with relationships. I feel like relationships didn't affect me as much because I think because men are more okay with, oh, we can stay home, cool, let's stay home. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, we can not go out and spend money? Great.
Right, yeah. Yeah. So I feel like they were okay. They were, oh, we can just chill in bed? Oh, you know, perfect. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah, put your feet up. Yeah, so I feel like I can't really recall a time where it's really affected a relationship. I mean, with my current one, he's been quite helpful with trying to do certain things for me that I can't do. If he knows I can't bend down and do certain things. Yeah, he's got no choice. He knows. Before we got into this relationship, I made it very clear to him, like, look, this is what I have. This is something I can't help. Even my mum sat him down too and was like, yeah, like, are you sure? Because there are certain needs that she has. And yeah, it kind of is where it is. But again, as time's getting on, I'm managing a lot better anyway, because I'm able to even take newer things that I didn't know of that are helping even more, that are sometimes making the pain almost numb to the point where I'm forgetting it's there, or just like painkillers that are so strong they're just knocking me out, like codeine, for example. So yeah, a lot of the time it hasn't been too bad, and I'm quite blessed and lucky to have a partner who understands, and he, you know, he's got his own things too, so he's never gonna make me feel some type of way about it. So I'm very appreciative of that.
And thinking back to your dating life pre-boyfriend, how did having an invisible disability impact your dating life? Did you disclose it up front, or was it something that you sort of talked about once it got further down? Like, how did they link together?
I feel like I was able to kind of disclose it quick enough. And then again, it was a kind of a similar thing. It wasn't really too much of a big deal, because I guess I was dating guys at the time that were like so chilled. I think even back then I was in a relationship on and off for about 3-4 years with this one guy, from 2016 to all the way until about 2020. Yeah, because it was literally the year of the pandemic where we finally broke up and I was like, I just can't do this anymore. Yeah, I mean, because I just realized how trash and unreliable he was. And yeah, and I'm just like, even though he was very understanding of my illness, and he would always ask me, oh, how's your health today? And I always loved that he asked me that, because it felt so sincere and it always felt so dedicated to my illness specifically, like are you okay, are your feet okay, is your body okay, like how are you mentally?
It's so nice, because it's like he understands that you can, your feelings could change about it every day and stuff. It's not like he asks once a month or something. It's like wanting to know the how you're mentally, like the changes every day.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, that's nice.
And then it was, and being able to kind of tell him, yeah, it's this or it's that, and he would still further the conversation with me and try and maybe give some kind of solutions. And I think that's one of the reasons why I did stay with him for so long, because he was very sweet and empathetic in that sense. But he just couldn't be present physically. Like, he was very unreliable to the point where I felt like he was leading a double life. I was like, really? You sure you don't have a wife and kids somewhere? Yeah, because we would have arrangements to go somewhere, or to even just him come round. And last minute, a lot of the time on the day, oh, I can't anymore, I've got to do this job, and da da da. And I'm like, really? Or he couldn't stay over a lot of the time. And I'm like, you can't stay over? Why not? You're a grown man. What's the problem?
Yeah.
It was bizarre. I never met his mom. Very, very, yeah. Especially where he constantly went on and on about, oh, we could have had two kids by now, you know. And I'm like, two kids by now, and you've barely even been like physically present. I've never been to your house. I've never met your parents. We've been on and off in this relationship for 4 years. Like, are you serious, sir? Like, yeah. It was very confusing, because how can this caring, considerate human being who was generous to a fault but just never was reliable and present enough, like, and wanted to be with me, marry me, and have children with me? It just confused the hell out of me. So the pandemic confirmed that, you know, if he can't come and bring me some groceries in this, like, you know, chaos and make sure that I'm okay physically, then yeah, you're just really not the guy for me at the end of the day. It doesn't make sense.
COVID confirmed that for so many people, I think. Like, either it cemented your relationship and you moved in together, and then, or you moved in together too soon and you're like, nope.
Exactly.
So I think it's eye-opening in a lot of ways.
Definitely.
On a bit of a different tangent, how do you think social media impacts people with invisible disabilities, either positively or negatively?
I feel that unless they can relate to the disability, a lot of people probably just don't really care, in all honesty. I feel like most people, I mean, of course, some people are going to be empathetic and be like, oh, okay, cool, like, good for you for having this difficulty and still getting up every day and, you know, bringing lovely content to the timeline, and got, you know, I'm rooting for you, sis. But then I feel like there's a lot of, like, you know, pricks in the world who only kind of think of themselves, and a lot of people are still very much like, ew, like, you're disabled, like, you're not the vibe, or, you know, that's just, I don't know how they translate it in their minds, but you can kind of like see the energy and like people's like tone of their voice or how they speak or their body language. It's gotten a little bit better, in the sense of a lot of people are realizing how normal it is. And I think it's because so many people are so vocal about it these days. It might have been a bit shameful to admit it to some. So a lot of people just didn't say anything because they didn't want to look like they're not cool, because it's not cool to have a disability. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, yeah, you're not an it girl.
I suppose it's good for finding like-minded communities. Like, I guess what you were saying about the queer community, when you have people around you that are similar to you and you can share stories and stuff. But in the same breath, I guess with social media, it's like there's just so much out there and so much content and so many people dealing with so many different things. It's like there's almost like a clutter. People don't know where to direct their attention. And like you said, you might, you know, engage with something and feel bad for someone, or, you know, hear someone's story, or, you know, be emotionally invested in someone's TikTok, but it goes for 30 seconds and then you're like, okay, next thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is it. That's exactly it. But I'm very grateful for the people on there that I do follow who have other disabilities or similar ones, and
we
support each other. We understand it. We understand that it takes a lot of patience and just reminding each other that, you know, you're still worthy of love. You're still a beautiful human being, regardless of what kind of struggles you have. You know, you are not your disability.
And have you met some cool people, like, through online communities about fibromyalgia or OCD? Is there good, strong online communities? Are they on Instagram? Are they on Reddit? Like, where would you go for that sort of stuff?
I would say I've met at least one or two people that have fibromyalgia on Twitter. Yes, of course.
Twitter.
And then on Instagram. I know, right? and then on Instagram, I've mostly met people that have is it endometriosis?
Yeah, endometriosis. Endometriosis, yeah.
That seems like a really popular one too. Some people that I know from like my childhood that have it as well. And I've never really heard about it too much until the last like maybe 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people that have IBS, which is like, it's kind of like not as extreme as, you know, the ones where it affects you more physically in a sense of, you know, walking and standing, etc. But it's still technically an illness that can really mess up your day, you know? Yeah, so even that's popping up a lot now. And mm-hmm. I'm just very much like really happy that people just be more outspoken and be more honest, because
yeah, definitely.
Life isn't rainbows. You don't wake up every day and see a unicorn outside, you know? Like,
yeah.
So it's just nice that people be more transparent, because mm-hmm. a lot of the time I'm very tired of the fakery that happens in social media. Everyone's pretending their life is Christmas and it's not. And I'm not saying that we have to dwell and mope and just sit in misery, but just be honest about each other. You know, today is not a great day, but I'm going to get up and try and make my day feel a bit better by doing my skincare, making myself my favorite cup of tea and watching my favorite films and in bed. You know, like, you can just leave it as that. And if you don't feel like even doing that and you do want to wallow, like, that's fair enough. But I just don't like it when people come online and say something that isn't it, because all you're doing is creating this harmful narrative that everyone's life should look like that. My life looks like this, so yours needs to look like this too. And if it doesn't, then you failed. No, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it. Smack your hand. Stop it.
People have too much time, don't they? Too much time on their hands. Like, just give it, have a day off.
Honestly.
Why are you coming to me with that? I don't need it.
In all honesty, yeah, because I feel like the world would be a better place if we were just all more honest with each other. That's it.
And how do you think the body positivity or the body neutrality movement has an effect on those with invisible disabilities?
It's a hard one, because I feel like we're still obviously very much a part of that movement. And for me, it's always important that people that look like me and disabled bodies are always in the center of it, because a lot of the time we're always like ignored when it comes to those kind of conversations.
Right.
We talk about body positivity and then we don't include disabled bodies. You know, it's not yeah. fair. We talk about body positivity and we only focus on white women. Like, yeah, come on. It's weird. Instagram's been doing that for years, and then especially a certain type of body as well, like a small fat, but you have to have the small waist, little bit of a belly, but the waist all needs to go in, and then a nice big bum and big boobs and small arms and relatively small legs. You know what I mean? It's
exhausting.
It's stupidness. It is. It's truly exhausting. It really is. And I feel like people rest too much on that.
And in saying that, so you said something really interesting there about white women. What would you say mm-hmm. in regards to the importance of intersectional feminism when it comes to your experiences in particular?
I feel like it can be very harmful when it's only focused on white feminism. The only things that affect them are the things they're willing to speak out about.
Yeah.
So if I'm now to explain what I'm dealing with in the workplace, or, you know, with a colleague, because obviously I'm freelance, so I get to work with so many different kinds of people. And yeah, sometimes I might not find any kind of thing in common with someone I'm working with, but it's fine. I'm just here to do a job. But because they don't find anything in common with me, they take it personally, or their ego's been crushed, so they want to make me have a horrible day. It's happened too many times.
Yeah.
And I feel like when no one backs me up or hears my side and empathizes with the way I've been treated just for doing my job, just because I didn't giggle at this person's jokes, I don't relate mm-hmm. to it. If I don't relate to something, mm-hmm. what, I have to put on a show just because mm-hmm. I'm at work? I'm not here for that. I'm here to do my job.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's happened too many times to count. And I just feel like the moment that we put an end to the sickness that it is and stop mm-hmm. doing it as a social media stunt, because mm-hmm. again, during the pandemic, when we had all of those protest for what was going on in America with George Floyd, and everyone was putting these black squares on their Instagram and having all of these paragraphs. And I just sat back and watched that people that were doing it, and I was like, oh, but you had nothing to say when I told you this person was bullying me, and you said it was nothing, and I told you that she's only doing it because of what I look like, and you just said, oh no, Lala, it's fine, she's but now, oh, you want to support because it's trendy. Like, oh, it's insane. I mean, not a lot of people know this, but I went behind closed doors and called some people out for doing it. I did some of it in person, like in the public too, but a lot of it I had to do behind closed doors as well, because you need to know about your crap. You know, you need to know that what you're doing is harmful and it's performative and it's not fair. If you're not gonna be loud and proud and stand for what is right all of the time, then just shut up. Don't bother just because there's a camera in your face. Yeah.
You are such a good advocate for so many different things, and I think it's been such a pleasure having you on the podcast, and I feel like you are still remaining so positive in the face of so much adversity, and it's really inspiring to see. So thank you so much for jumping on the podcast, and this has been such a lovely chat.
It has. It's been really fun. Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed my chat with Lala. Please let me know on any of my socials if you have any stories or thoughts of your own to share. Peace.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.